Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 135. I'm your host, as always, Will Wilson, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello. You've checked the number this week before
I did.
going, what number is it?
I did, yeah.
Professional, you're learning.
Yeah, I haven't even said yet, just then. I'm still going to say a lot. Anyway.
You're trying.
I am trying. I am trying very hard.
Make a different noise.
So, I've got to say, failed.
Oh dear.
I have to do the advert again.
Straight away.
Well, let's get rid of it, like really quickly. And then we can crack on, and then we won't have to say it to the end again. Yeah, so a listener tweeted me earlier in the week to say that doesn't mind it, but no more ads, please. Unfortunately, what I wasn't told before the recording last week was that we've got to do it for another 3 weeks.
They're laughing all the way to the bank, that one.
Yeah, they are. Anyway, so yes, here it comes. Well, let's pick a different tune this week. Let's go for this. Let's go for a completely different atmosphere. Let's do this one. The note by the dead body reads: Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing just launched for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Help Sonic celebrate his 20th anniversary and get this awesome app today. It goes on. In Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, your favorite Sega characters come together to battle it out in an adrenaline-fueled race to the finish line.
You did some ad-libbing there, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Mad Libs. That's
Is
what
that
I do.
allowed?
That's mad. That's my thing, man. That's my calling card. When you hear me Mad Lib, you know it's me. Still want Mad Lib like I do, yeah? You get me, blood. Anyway.
Are you allowed to ad lib? That's what I was thinking. You know, was that break the terms and conditions?
I've never seen the TNCs.
Oh, well, I see.
So that's for the ad boys to watch.
You might not be here next week.
No, I might not be. Hello, welcome to the iPhone and iPad gaming podcast from Pocket Gamer. That's my replacement.
What, Sean Connery?
Yeah. You know, with the money they're making from this Sega thing, I'm sure they can afford him. Anyway, yeah, so there we go. That's read out once. We'll read it out again at the end, and I'll find a different tune and try and think of a different voice. You can tweet me and recommend different ways making that advert slightly more bearable. It'll be around for another 2 weeks, so stay tuned for that. Let's go to the news!
News!
Right, first up in the news this week, let's concentrate on site news first of all. We've just literally, well, not literally, about 2 hours ago from when we were recording, but we've updated the website, or our tech bodies, as I call them, have updated the website. So now you should see there's comments on the front page, so you can quickly access them. They're next to the articles. And you can also share articles using Google Plus, Facebook. You could tweet it like straight from the top. Oh, and dig articles as well if you want. And
Reddit.
Reddit. Oh, was it Reddit at the top?
Reddit.
Oh, Reddit then. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right. So yes, so finally our tweet counter doesn't look like it's permanently a one, because that was TweetMem being selective. So yes, and we of course we enjoy it when people share our articles, because that means it's getting around, people reading them. Even if you don't agree with us. Rate us 5 stars on the app. Yeah, so that's good. I'm calling it Pocket Gamer version 1.2.
Did we know this was happening?
Well, they said last week that there was going to be an update at the end of the week.
All right.
In private. And then...
we all seemed to panic when it happened this afternoon.
Yeah, because no one warned us it was actually going to happen.
So we thought everything...
They also didn't tell us what was going to happen. So, you know, could have been that they changed all the text into Comic Sans.
Well, that's what we're doing on Biz, actually. But, you know, that's top secret.
Make it a little bit brighter.
Yeah, you know, just keep everyone's interest.
Hey, I have no idea about EA's financials, but the Comic Sans font, it cracks me up every time. Yes, so there we go. So you can share stories a little bit easier. Right, let's go on to the other news. iPhone 5 rumor update. Let's do this, get it out of the way. Current rumors say that the iPhone 5 is out in September the 5th.
It's the 5th.
The 5th, yeah, that's a bit exact.
It's very exact.
I need a new, I probably put in a new sound for that.
September the 5th.
Yeah, I think I'll need...
I wouldn't be willing to go any more specific than out at some point before the end of this decade, I would say. Otherwise, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, some people are still saying 2012. It's meant to be the US release of September the 5th, so that's the... So it's likely to be September the 25th.
They'll all be sold out, and we'll get about 7 across. They'll send in a curry somewhere, and, you know. It's just a Verizon CEO has said in the fall.
Oh, I see. So they have no idea it's going to be September.
And some executive from Swiss carrier Swisscom, which, you know, we all use when we go to Switzerland, has said September the 5th. But, you know, one of them, Mac Rumors, is also saying August the 15th or September the 15th or somewhere between the two. So one of them's going to be right.
Really?
By the time we know, it'll be out the following week, won't it? So, you know.
Yeah.
What will we talk about on this podcast when it comes out?
Well, the iPhone 6.
Six.
There. yeah. Well, there we go. We still don't know anything about it.
No.
There's rumors flying around, of course, saying 8-megapixel camera and all that jazz. Dual core, yada, yada, yada. We don't know. So
8 megapixels wouldn't actually be that good anymore, though, would it? I mean, you've got all these Nokias of 11 megapixels.
It's not to be sniffed at, really. I mean, once you get to 12 megapixels, I'm not going to do my South African accent. That would be terrible. once you get to 12 megapixels, though, the resolution is so large that unless you're printing out a poster...
Well, yeah. But I mean, so I don't know. I
have a good lens. It doesn't really matter what.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. It's not really the megapixels. It's the lens
and the sensor as well.
Yeah. My Windows Phone has a rubbish lens and sensor and camera.
These cameras are awful. The iPhone 4's camera, I'm impressed by it. I think it's actually
Really good.
Phone camera.
The color especially is really
good. Yeah, it's really good. You made the right choice, guys.
Like taking pictures.
Yeah. Because HTC's offerings are rubbish.
No, they just make it look like you're drunk all the time, HTC's.
Yeah, or you just sort of put your finger across it and smeared it before you take every shot. Anyway, Final Fantasy Tactics has been submitted to Apple.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. Keith has been so... Like, he's been leaping around.
This is owing to my sponsorship deal with Square Enix, is he? So,
yeah. He's doing a sponsored leap around the office. so finally we should be seeing Final Fantasy Tactics on the iPhone within a week or two, I guess, or whenever, or if it fails the let's hope it doesn't. Originally a PSP game, of course. It is full title The War of the Lions. It's sort of a sequel almost of Final Fantasy Tactics. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, basically, I'm looking forward to it because I never played War of the Lions. I played one of the earlier Final Fantasy Tactics on the Game Boy Advance, which was brilliant. It had a really good plot as well. Some people said the plot's crap, by the way, so this isn't a university acknowledged fact. Should be. But it was like a plot for a really good 80s kids cartoon. No, kids feature film. You know, a bit dark and very sort of moral, but moral in a sort of dark and sort of cool way. Like Dark Crystal or Labyrinth.
Oh, Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Scary.
So far, you're wrong.
Whenever you get drunk, you send me clips of Labyrinth, I'm sure, on Facebook chat.
it's a great song. God, Final Fantasy Tactics had Labyrinth soundtrack. Oh, wow.
Wouldn't make much sense, I don't know.
It wouldn't make much sense, but it'd be amazing. Okay, moving on from that. Jet Car Stunts 2, we've had the first details revealed. I think exclusively to us, actually.
Exclusive.
Should, oh wait, hang on, I'll do the echo.
Exclusive.
No, wait, here we go. Here, try again.
Pocket Gamer exclusive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If only we could put that on the actual website every time we have one.
True Axis has told us that Jetcar Stunts 2, which they are working on, they've ramped up development on it recently, will have 6 different vehicles to choose from, not just the sort of F1 looking car. A new freestyle mode, which is sort of sounds a bit like a skating game sort of mode where you get scores for your tricks. In fact, Luke Ryan from True Axis describes it as a skateboarding game of a car. So there we go. I wondered why I said that. I was sort of thinking. Anyway, so yes, you get scored for drifts, spins, rolls, flips, and grinds. And there's going to be a level editor, which I'm really looking forward to. If you didn't play Jet Car Stunts, then you're a fool, because it's a really great, like, really good 3D Trials-esque stunt game that where you take on progressively trickier stages. It runs brilliantly on the old iPhones as well, so even where the graphics look good, you can still run them on the iPod Touch, like second gen. Absolutely fine. It's a really good game. I really love it. It's tricky as hell, though, so if you're not one of those people who likes to spend like 30 retries on a level, then you might not like it. But it's really well done. You ever play it, Keith?
No, I'm one of the aforementioned fools.
Oh, you fool.
I don't play anything.
Well, that's true. Well, if you haven't played it, like Keith, you can buy it now for £1.49 from the App Store. So, yes, we're looking forward to Jet Car Stunts 2. No release date yet. We'll find out a bit later. Right, should we go on to serious news, or should we... This is like the biz section.
Serious news.
I like the fact... I know I've written this, so I shouldn't really like the fact I've done this. But I've just written edge across this story, so...
You could actually get taken to court for that.
Well, yes, but I'd win.
Well, yeah, you would. Yeah. I know we could write a story
about
it.
I've got the evidence on a floppy disk. In America. Right. Made on Windows 95. I have
done in 1991, yeah.
I haven't been following this latest development so closely, though. Keith, do you know much about this?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, this was a Pocket Gamer exclusive. In that we had an email about this, didn't we?
Yeah, but some other sites also got emailed, though, so I'm not going to...
Did they? Oh, partial exclusive.
I think we all basically said on our news stories, Moby Games has told XX.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Anyway.
No, but it's interesting because old Mr. Edge Games, Langdale, lovely picture of his face there on the website, has kind of alleged that... the whole case he had against EA over Mirror's Edge was actually he didn't want to do it. Future Publishing made him do it because of some convoluted agreement to do with the name of their magazine, Edge. And basically, Moby Games saying, yeah, that's rubbish. He'll say anything just to kind of wheedle his way out of it, and he'll probably end up in jail.
Surprised he hasn't already landed in jail, to be honest, from reports from the court, where he basically, the judge accused him of just lying all the time.
it's just a matter of time. I mean, it's just the kind of, they're going through the proceedings at the moment. I think it's kind of, something is going to happen. But he, I mean, this is what he's done throughout all this, kind of fallen back on things he hopes no one will be able to prove to kind of defend himself. And then it takes time to prove he was lying in that bit before you even get to the whole case about the whole Edge name. So it's yeah.
It's not a... At least this one's coming to a close soon.
Maybe.
Well, hopefully. But while this one's coming to a sort of end, another...
nice link.
Yes, thank you. All three of these stories are basically linked. Another lovely group have appeared to take up the mantle of Master Sewers. Although these ones have a little bit more of a claim than before, because they do actually license out patents to the big companies.
Yeah, their claim...
Sorry, I haven't mentioned who it is. Lotus.
Yeah,
they're going after Rovio, EA, Atari, Square Enix, and Take-Two, now.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, I was about to say about old Edge games there is that if you kind of have a really odd case like that, the last thing you want to be doing is taking someone the size of EA to court, because if you are lying or what you're basing on is dodgy, then, you know, EA have got the money to prove that. And this is what's, I mean, it could be taken a sign of confidence, this, because they started out by sending out letters to tiny iPhone and Android studios, and you kind of think, well, they're hoping that they won't be able to afford the legal bills, and they'll just pay up for this supposed in-app purchase patent or patents. And now they're suing big guys, big guys. So it's interesting to see either they're very, very confident or very, very stupid.
Yeah, and this is all about in-app purchases, so which apparently Apple have licensed.
Well, yeah, this is bizarre as well, because they filed these patents with this kind of really weird wording before the concept of an app existed. You know, I think it was dated back to something like 2003, and so they're saying it's literally to do with the actual button that you press to update. I might be wrong, but from what I've read, I think it's literally like the button you press to upgrade your game, as it were. Is they have some patents over that, and so they're kind of backdating all of these games that have used it. And now, yeah, they claim, well, I think it's true actually, that Apple, Microsoft, Google all kind of have paid them a license for this. Or I think actually it might even be that those three companies actually invested in the original company that filed these patents, so they're kind of already covered, kind of thing. But they're saying this doesn't apply to actual developers who use their in-app purchase settings. So, I mean, but you're going after EA, you're going after Atari, you're going after Square Enix and all these people. You know, it's going to come out one way or the other, I suppose.
Yeah. Although one of the original developers that was accused has been removed from the lawsuit.
Yeah, well, you wonder why that is, though. I mean, I wonder, it's some Vietnamese company, isn't it? You wonder whether they capitulated and decided to buy the license.
Yeah.
Rather than lots just decided, actually, they weren't, you know, because you either are or you aren't. I mean, figure literally, as an in-app purchase setup in their game, is liable to get a letter at some point. So I can only assume, I mean, yeah, this is probably wrong, but maybe this Vietnamese company paid up to have this license.
Of course, that would only help Lodzis's case.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's a little bit in the air, that one still, but we'll keep you informed if anything happens. Because, of course, you know, companies having to pay out money for in-app purchase, that could be quite expensive. Right, and also pretty bad for the grassroots.
Very
as well. It could even put the brakes on independent developers making stuff for iPhone. Well, I don't. Well, anyway.
Dramatic now. You're getting very dramatic.
I am. Yes, but talking about in-app purchases, Chilengo. It's never really sort of gone into freemium before, but it's just re-released one of its older games, Monster Mayhem, as a freemium game, which is odd. It's a new move from the company. Well, it's done it before, but it's relatively new. what? Well, you know, when you think Chilengo, you think Angry Birds, 59p. They're like the company that... Not well, I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit hyperbolic here, but that's not actually an adjective. But you know, they're one of those publishers that you associate with the 59p.
Yeah, they're kind of even though they're in this new kind of field, they're quite traditional, aren't they? The kind of you pay for a game and you get it kind of thing.
Yeah, so
all the money is in freemium now, so
yeah, so well, I expect if that does well, we can expect to see other Chilengo games make it across.
But, I mean, it's the number of freemium games is just it's going sky high now. I mean, there's been two reports out this week, one saying that the average in-app purchase is $14. I read that wrong. But basically, that people either decide they're going to do it or they're not. They don't actually care how much the purchase is. They just kind of decide, do I like this game enough? Do it, and if they do, they'll spend anything. So they're making a lot more money than people think they are, and I think the revenue generated from freemium games has now surpassed the revenue generated from paid games.
I liked the model that QuizSlimer used recently, which was a Turing Go game, actually, but Relentless Software. Though, where it basically you got the, you could either, the ad supported model, basically. I prefer that because you get the game for free with ads, which are kind of annoying. But like, I liked it enough, so I thought, oh, you know, I'll pay my pounds to the developers. I think it's certainly worth the money. So
I don't mind in that purchase. I think the problem is that most of the games that had them at the beginning used them as a way to literally lock off parts of the game.
The problem with freemium is it's far too tempting to either fall into the pay to win model, which is what the hardcore genres tend to do, where you have like the best weapons are only available to those who pay. Or the Farmville style, make this game less boring model, which is incredibly poor, in my opinion. It's not even a game. It's just basically paying so that you don't have to put up with crap.
So you don't have to play it, really.
Yeah, so you don't have to play it. So, see, that's my problem with freemium. Occasionally you get a good one.
There's an increasing number of ones that have just have it on the side as an option. Not as if you want to not play, but if you just want to speed up certain elements, you can. But it doesn't harm in any way not to. But it's quite a hard balance to find that. And I think it's only now kind of developers are kind of thinking we can actually do this without actually making our game either impossible or making it so boring that people will want to pay.
I wonder how long it'll take before they do the sort of, before games start to do the pay what you want thing, well, but adapted for the App Store. As in sort of like the in-app purchases are just voluntary contributions to the developer kind of thing. You know, because the PC sphere, Humble Bundle 3, which is out on PC with like five or six top-selling indie games, runs on a pay-as-you-want model, and they're doing very successful. They're doing good stuff for charity as well, so check that out on Google. But I wonder how long it would take before developers start to use that. Because at the moment, I don't think you can do that. In terms of the App Store.
I don't think the framework's there.
No.
I reckon indie,
the next step.
Indie studios would be more likely to do it, but I reckon publishers would panic and think, you know, in terms of they want to know how much money they're going to make for the game. I think they'd worry that people wouldn't pay anything or people would pay, you know, one pence.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see if that actually gets around the in-app purchase button, if Lodsys is successful, that sort of model. Anyway, sorry, I'm hypothesizing here. I quite like the pay as you want model, EC. That's cool because it makes you feel a bit guilty and then you end up paying. But yes, okay, we're going to finish off this week with a biz story that you brought to my attention, Keith.
Biz story? I can't even remember what it was now.
Exclusive.
No, it's not exclusive. EA's financial report's boring. But.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, go on.
But the CEO did say something interesting.
Yeah, this is interesting, actually. If only because, actually. I mean, this is an example of all of us being quite bad at our jobs, but, well, me. this interview old Mr. EA CEO gave actually a week before the financial report came out, it would appear, but suddenly last night the internet leapt upon it post-financial report, which kind of, in EA's financial report, they talked up how important smartphones and iPad and so forth have been to their latest results, and that kind of consoles are kind of falling back. And then everyone sort of leapt upon this interview you gave where he basically says that iPad and co and iPhone have been a really good thing for the industry, if only because they stopped this role of everyone having to buy a new console every 5 years, which isn't particularly healthy, he says, for developers. And he says that iPad basically makes up 40%. No, it doesn't. It's the fastest growing. It's the
welcome to 2021. We are.
it's the fastest growing format on their for the publisher, and actually consoles now only make up 40% of their business, which is kind of unthinkable a few years ago.
So yeah, consoles used to make up 80% of EA's business in 2000, and now it's just 40%. 11 years later.
Yeah. It's interesting, really, because EA have been really smart with iPhone and iPad when at first they appeared really slow. But they've made all these solid purchases, and now they're kind of essentially a major player within.
They were better positioned than Activision, though.
Yeah,
because they had their old they had their Java lot.
Yeah, well, yeah, they've always had a. But I think their initial reaction to iPhone. I mean, I can't remember what their first iPhone games were, but I think it was kind of what can they port over and what licenses can they shove on.
To be honest, it's probably Tetris. They put that game on everywhere. I mean, like, kudos, they have Tetris, but it's literally everywhere.
Yeah, but I think now they've looked at, they've bought people who they've thought and actually doing things creative that can bring things to EA rather than EA having to take its franchises over that aren't always particularly applicable for a touchscreen.
Yeah, that's true.
Although FIFA's good.
I still haven't played FIFA on the iPhone.
Right, the latest one.
Oh, no, I did play FIFA. I played it. Yeah, no, I have actually. It looked good. I haven't played it for very long. Football games. Anyway, well, that's the final whistle for the news section. We're now going to go on to new releases. Oh, no. Hello, welcome to the new release. What am I going to call this section? New releases. The new releases roundabout.
Roundabout.
Welcome to the new releases roundabout. We're stood here on the central island, watching a couple of cars go past. And I can see the lorry of games is coming with the new releases for this week on its side. So let's have a look at what they've what they're serving up.
A lorry of games.
Josh!
You know what you haven't done? You usually do your big random intro, which makes no sense whatsoever, where you just spew out a load of random words to do with the games we're about to talk about.
Oh my god, you're right.
You forgot it.
I forgot it. I was too
so useless, was it? You forgot.
I forgot it. Ah, I did have this sort of sinking feeling I'd forgotten something.
It's one of them things like, you know, when you forget to hit record, you know, one of them podcast things you do.
Yeah, we can record any time. right, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it now.
Oh, no.
I'll do it live! This week on the new releases, we're coasting, we're robots, we're in the gravity lab.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense.
It doesn't.
We're coasting and we're robots. That's why we're in the gravity lab, because you couldn't test the gravity lab on humans. It's not safe.
Yep.
First up, Mad Wheels. Mad Wheels. I just don't know why. That's not the song. just making up a song. Mad Wheels.
Isn't that Hot Wheels? Those toys, those toy cars.
Gee, where did that come from? Mad Wheels. This is one of Chillingo's three games that we've picked up on this week. Although we're not going to pick up on the other two because I don't think they look very good.
Say that.
Sorry, Chillingo. So Mad Wheels. It's a combat racing game where you ride. How is a boat meant to ride across a dirt track?
With your imagination.
My imagination can be quite naughty.
I know.
Yeah.
It's got wheels on the bottom. I can see it now. They've all got wheels on the bottom.
Oh, I see. I guess that's why they say Mad Wheels, because anyway, you get laser guns, there's rocket launchers, you get to spin your car around. It looks quite violent, but in a cartoony fashion. Yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm not going to read out exactly what I wrote in the notes for this one, but I basically just said that at the start. Gesundheit! Does anyone actually say Gesundheit when anyone sneezes?
Well, don't you have to go to Germany or something?
I don't know, I think they might say it in America.
Do they?
Yeah, we always say bless you, because when someone sneezes, it's scientifically proven this, by the way, an evil spirit goes into your face and infects your brain.
I don't say that. I say get away from me, to be honest.
Ah, well, that's probably why all those people around you are infected with evil spirits. Anyway, right, Gesundheit, bless you. it's quite an interesting looking puzzle game. It's got a pig, little green pig who just basically sneezing and throwing green snot everywhere. Who's got to avoid a big red monster. And it looks like it's been drawn by a child, but it's when I say that, it looks actually really good. So it doesn't actually look like it's been drawn by a child, but it's in that sort of similar style. Sort of a puzzle game. This is published by... Who's this published by? Because it's quite a big publisher that's picked up this.
Konami,
yeah. It's not a very usual game for Konami to pick up, but... No. Revolutionary Concepts, I think, are the guys behind it. It looks really good. We should have a review of that later on in the week. I've got Chris Schilling on it. I have assigned iOS reviews this week, listeners, so if a game that you think looked really good hasn't been assigned, tough cookie! I didn't think it looked good. Either that or I ran out of reviewers. anyway. Right, the next one up is Groove Coaster, which I've written my note for this, just says, looks awesome. It does look awesome. It's by Taito. You know what? I've friggin' closed the stupid window, and now I've got Chris talking at me.
Not Chris.
Yeah, how annoying is that?
Put him Chris. In his place.
Unfortunately, he now listens to the podcast, so I can't say my normal rant about RMD. Anyway. Only joking, Chris. Or am I? Oh, blimey. Yes. So, Groove Coaster. Taito's behind this. It looks really good. It looks really unusual. It's got a sort of retro Space Invaders like look to it.
Where is it?
But it's a rhythm based roller coaster.
Where the hell is it?
It's down near the bottom, just above
the bottom. I mean, you need to do this as kind of order.
No, because I'm not going through all of them. We know what happens when I do that.
Oh God. Lab music.
Yeah, that's what I found.
Looks good on iPad.
It does look good. It's a lot of tapping involved. But it looks really cool, really stylized.
It does.
We should have a review of that later this week. And yeah, it looks good. I should really say the prices. I keep forgetting. 69p. Right, what are... Roboto. Where art thou? I have no idea where I'm going with that. Anyway, Roboto is a it's a action-packed quote side-scrolling platformer. It's sort of traditional but with laser guns. It's a 3D 2D platformer side-scrolling. I've been playing on the Xperia Play today, so. So, of course, my view on this is slanted a bit because the physical controls are a lot better than the touchscreen, but never mind. We gave it a 7 on Android, which is good. I think it's a pretty good game. If you're after a traditional platform with a few little interesting twists, you can't go too wrong with it. It looks great as well. You can see 3D. Sort of cel-shaded look to it.
It looks like it plays like Sonic or something, to be honest.
It's a little bit like Sonic.
It looks very kind of old school Sonic. Well, not looks, but you know what I mean? The way it's playing looks.
Yeah, well, it's not... I don't know. I got more of a... What game is it? I wouldn't say it's very that much like Sonic, but it's quite interesting. It's got like pads which flip the world around upside down and stuff like this, which is quite cool. Anyway, £1.99 for that. I quite enjoy it. And, of course, it's been given a bronze award, so there you go. Stamp of approval from us. Gravity Lab! Ooh. Gravity Lab! You've got to guide Steve the Robot through 75 physics-based puzzles. I like the graphics on this. It's got a slight... It looks 2D, but then once you fire your robot out of the fan... it flips into 3D in quite a... Again, it's cel-shaded. Well, it looks like cel-shaded. It looks quite cool. You've got to collect the stars on a level by hitting blocks, and there's different gravities around different areas. And it looks good. It looks good. So, yeah. Well, how much is it? No download link. Oh, Anthony.
Apologies.
Anthony.
Is that meant to have gone up on the site, or is
what,
that...
What have you done?
External viewing only.
Oh, dear. Right, and the last one I'm going to point out is Dice Soccer trailer.
What have you written in the notes about this?
Has a shite generic Avril Lavigne style backing track for a soundtrack.
Who is Avril Lavigne?
That's my funny version of Avril Lavigne, you know. You know, the pop princess. From...
I heard she was ill, and everyone I say this
really?
To. Well, when she first came out, everyone told me, oh, you've got to buy her records because she's dying.
What?
And she's still alive. So I'm starting to think that was probably a lie.
I never heard that before. Are you sure they weren't sniggering after they said...
Maybe it's just because she's quite skinny, but, you know. People said, oh, no, she's only got a few years to live. She buy her albums.
That's bad.
I never did, so I don't know what that says about me.
I wonder if this will record, but this is what I mean. Hang on.
Well, that sounds like Dreamcast era Sonic, to be honest. Apart from the whistles.
It probably hasn't recorded. So it's a weird one. This is like, it's a rolling dice game featuring football management. That is soccer. Soccer management. And you with transfers and opponent teams. It's quite an interesting combination, I'd say. Of the casual and the elite. I don't know how well it plays because I haven't played it yet, but it does the original, that's for sure. So there we go, except for the trailer soundtrack, which was as generic as they come. That is free.
Free?
Free.
Goal. It looks all right.
The graphics don't look
quite amusing.
But it looks like quite a funny little game.
Everyone's got quite a big belly, which is quite good for a football player.
Thank you very much for joining us on that. Right now, let's go on to what we've been playing, Fields.
What we've been playing!
Keith, what have you been playing?
I've been playing... Well, I've only played one game this week.
Better make it a good game.
I think we mentioned it last week in the what's new section. Feed the Duck. Did we talk about that? I think we did.
Feed the Duck.
I thought it looked quite good, but actually playing it, it's not that good. It's a physics puzzler in kind of the Angry Birds mold, in that you kind of pull your finger back to launch something. But you launch this duck down into the water. So it's quite weird in that you pull your finger back. He's resting on the water and you pull your finger back to launch him kind of skywards. And then he bobs back down. And it's all about timing, really, because you've got to get him, as the name suggests, he needs to eat. So there are fish floating around below him and you have to time your, throwing him down into the water with the movement of these fish below. The levels, obviously, they'd kind of become more and more convoluted and have various fixtures and fittings in them that you can either use or try to avoid. And there's enemies swimming around who will electrocute you if you touch them. But for me, it just doesn't kind of work as a concept, because you can't ever really prejudge what's going to happen, how he's going to react when there's a platform in the way. You can kind of think, oh, well, he'll bounce off that and pick up these fish on the way, but then he doesn't. He does something completely different, and you end up getting killed. And you'll end up where you'll have eaten, you know, all of the fish bar one in one swoop, and then there's one just trapped in some corner somewhere that's impossible to reach. Obviously not impossible, but incredibly infuriating to reach. I just don't think, really, as a kind of physics puzzler, enough thought has gone into the design of the levels for it to really stand up against what's already a bloody crowded genre. So it was a bit disappointing. It's nice art style and it's quite simple delivery, and you can, you know, start playing it within seconds. But I found it one of them games where you have to literally follow what the developer has intended to the letter to have any success, and didn't really enjoy. I was waiting to enjoy it as the levels went past, thinking I'm going to enjoy this in a minute, I'm going to enjoy it, and I never did. I just found it kind of frustrating and a bit annoying. So it's not awful, but there's going to be a lot of these kind of games now, and I think not enough thought goes into whether they're actually fun or not. So yeah, feed the fish.
Well, feed the fish.
Starve the fish.
Starve.
Feed
the fish.
Feed the duck. Even.
Starve the fish. Feed the fever.
kill the fish, actually, is what you do.
Kill the fish, starve the duck. And see, consequences. Maybe you should think about it.
Doesn't even look like a duck, actually. It looks like a chick. Kind of floating. I don't mean a girl. Floating around on top of the...
We all know what you mean.
He looks like a chick, yeah.
Hey. Whoa, that chick looks like a duck.
Something I find myself saying all the time.
Right. Thank you very much for that, Keith.
You weren't listening.
I was listening. I just made a joke about ducks and ducks and birds.
You had that ready prepared.
I did, actually, yes. I wasn't listening at all. not really. Really. Right, yes. What have I been playing this week? I have been playing... Well, I should really talk about Silent Ops. Game Loft's latest game. Which I reviewed. And I gave it a 5. Sorry. It's not. But the annoying thing about Silent Ops is that it was one of the first Game Loft games I've played. Well, obviously because I've also got to review it. But it's like one of the first games I played from pretty much start to finish in a few sittings. It's got that going for it. It's basically the action bits from Splinter Cell Conviction. Again. Which technically makes this game a clone of a clone. Well, although, to be fair, the clone is, in fact, officially a licensed game from Game Loft in the first place. Yes, you play as 3 different agents who are trying to track down a virus or something, and the cure or something like that. Stop missiles, that happens. There's a bit where people get killed by a Russian agent who's got a really bad accent. That's there. Basically, the plot's complete rubbish. It doesn't make any sense. There's a bit in the middle of the game, though, which is really odd, where you get 5 minutes, not even joking, of CGI. No idea why. And it doesn't even warn you. So if you're actually playing this on the go, as you would be, you can't pause it or anything. You have to skip. So it's like... So never mind. Anyway, the plot's nonsensical. The game itself is your typical... It's the same old engine, same controls, as you know. If you get on with the controls, then you know what to expect here. If you don't, then you won't. There's been no changes there. The graphics, the locations are nice, but the graphics are pretty much the same as any of their other games recently. And the AI is still brain dead, so you just have like people standing in the middle of the room. Or on one great occasion, one of the bad guys got stuck in midair and just sort of ran on the spot, which is always good. It's just not very... It's okay. It's just not very interesting. I mean, we've played... When Game Loft released these sort of games like a year and a half ago, they were like original for the platform. They were new, they were fresh, and they were like... It was like someone sort of... I know, they're fresh in the sense that they weren't... There's no one else doing those sort of games.
Thinking Fresh Prince.
Fresh,
man.
Fresh. But there's no one else doing these sort of types of games, which 1.5 years ago was great, but it hasn't really moved on since then.
So now they're kind of I can't say the word, copying their own games.
So basically, yeah, copying their own games that they've already done, but not adding anything to them. It still feels a bit rushed, still feels a bit sloppy. I mean, the plot, actually, half the plot is ripped out of Shadow Guardian, which is another one of their games. It like has this whole of the start has a guy injecting a doctor to find out his memories and wearing like a 90s VR headset. That's exactly the start of freaking Shadow Guardian. What's going on? Game Loft, sort it out. There's more plots than that, you know. You don't have to go with the whole sort of let me see your memories angle. I mean, the controls are still clumsy. When you aim down iron sights, you still move your aim with the right-hand side of the screen, which I can't get with. I know other people have got around that, but it still just feels like you're trying to force the wrong genre into a touchscreen. I would be amazed if someone doesn't comment on the review and tell me that I'm an idiot or a prat or something like that for not appreciating the game.
Can we do that now?
Yeah, you can if you want to. because it's one of those things where it's a game that you won't play anywhere else except for from Gameloft. But I'm just sort of thinking that they need to start doing something a little bit more than just ramming out the same game on the same engine with the same flaws and the same problems and the same feel and even the same blooming plot, because it's getting a little bit tired now. Anyway, I've been a bit harsh on it because I did quite enjoy it. It's simple, it's very easy to run through, and it's sort of you turn off your brain and you ignore the fact that half of it's a bit shambolic, then it's fine. But yeah, I've given it a 5. I'd also like to make a special mention to the multiplayer, because as far as I can see, and I played a few matches, you can't level up your characters. That's not a problem in itself, but what is a problem is that means you can't unlock any other weapons. The only way to do it is to buy the weapons with real money. Now, I've already put down, well, not me personally, but if I was buying it, I'd already put down $4.99 for this. That's in pounds. It's going to be a bit more in dollars. But I've already spent like £5 on this game. And I'm going into a multiplayer mode with 11 other people, which it's a bit crap, the multiplayer anyway. But the fact is that some of those people who spent real money will have weapons that I have no chance of having access to, which are far more powerful, like grenades. I mean, the multiplayer basically just boils down to your camping buying crates, because, you know, there's no point running around. The maps aren't that well designed. But so whoever pays money wins. I don't like that. I think that's not good. That's pay to win.
It's not a good message for life, that, is it? Well,
it's not a good message to life for life. What? Yeah. No, but I don't mind it if it's on a Facebook game like Nova Elite. That's fine because it's free. And I don't mind it if you can unlock the weapons yourself by playing the game a lot. That's fine because, you know, they're only sort of cutting out the weight, as it were. With this, they're just becoming better by paying money. I don't like that. I think that's bad practice. So yeah, don't buy Silent Ops, because the Gameloft did that. And they might do that in one of their later games, like Modern Combat 3 or whatever, when it comes out. And that would be bad, and I'd be very annoyed, because that multiplayer is very good. So there we go. Anyway, so that's the game I've been playing yesterday. Yes, so yeah, Silent Ops. Silent Ops. Ooh, there's tabs! I've never seen the tabs.
No, I was just about to say that, but I thought he's talking about a game, so I shouldn't interrupt him. But tabs with a little nice kind of shadowing effect on the top of them.
Wow, that's awesome. Look, there's a summary as well.
This really is Pocket Gamer version 1.2, as you said.
Oh, no, I'm upgrading. Pocket Gamer 1.3. 1.25, yeah. This is incredible. We've got tabs.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, there should have been a press release about this.
Well, they should have at least told us. We work for them. Anyway, so yes, if you go down to the website now, you're in for a big surprise, because there's tabs.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes, so that's it. Thank you very much for joining us on the iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast.
You're not finished.
No. No, I'm not.
I feel there's something you're compelled inside of you for some reason to talk about.
Oh, please.
Game you love.
No more.
Just like those phone calls we have.
Yeah, it is a bit. All right, okay. Theme music, please.
Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. Just launched for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch.
What was that? That was terrible.
Help Sonic celebrate his 20th anniversary and get this awesome app today. In Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, what's going on? Your favourite Sega characters come together to battle it out in the adrenaline-fueled race to the finish line.
How would you like them apples?
Yeah, that was worse. That was worse. Well, that won't make any sense if you've edited out the last attempt, but that was worse.
I'd have to listen it back and pick her. I'll have to listen it back. I've lost it. Absolutely lost it.
You never had it, Will.
Oh, dear. So yes, there you go. Sonic and Sega off the road. That was the podcast for this week. We hope to see you. Well, not see you. God, no, we won't want to see you. Jeez.
Last week you promised that we would have all these extra people on, and none of them have turned up.
Yeah.
So next week, I think you should just be lucky if either of us turn up next week.
Next week's show.
Exclusive.
John Jordan will be joining us live in the studio. Maybe.
You say that now. You say that. But
maybe.
He's too busy.
So there we go. So I'll be here. Keith will likely be here, unless something terrible befalls him. And likely John as well, I think, this time. Damon's going to be busy, unfortunately, again. So we won't see him till August. No, wait. Next week is August. We won't see him until later in August. Yes. Right, yeah, thanks very much for listening. We will be back next week. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Good night.
Bye-bye.